Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio. 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Managed print services to keep your printing costs down?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Truculent Thursday continues on Oilers Now. This is Westwood One Radio.
Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. We had Louis DeBrusk on. We had Brian Burke on. Next up, a guy who was drafted in the second round of the 1995 NHL entry draft, which took place in Edmonton. He had a way longer career than the guy the Oilers took in the first round. He became an Edmonton sporting icon. One of the things we've talked about is losing teeth in hockey. Now, my guess is, based on George's one-loss record, he knocked more teeth out than he ever had knocked out. But I got to ask him, George, welcome back to the show, big man. How you doing?
Very good, Bob. Thanks for having me. But, Bob, one thing you have to clarify for me. When you talk about one loss record, what loss is that?
That's the way. That's the way. Do you ever think you lost one?
No. That's worse. That's worse. A draw. I've never been knocked out. Tell me this loss.
You know what? There is... And one of the problems you had is because you're so damn big and were so, you know, you had that left hand going that even when guys tied you, it was like a moral victory for their team. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. But you really think they have a loss?
You know, some in St. Louis. I don't know if I ever told you the story. I was in St. Louis's truck when you fought Tony Twist in Edmonton, and that's when you were on the verge of becoming the heavyweight champ of the NHL. And Tony Twist, he lost all his, there's a term for it, but he lost his crap in the jersey off. His jersey came off, his shoulder pads came off, and you were, he used to spin guys around, and you had pretty good control of him. And he came into the truck, George, and I kid you not, he sat right next to me. I was doing font court and stats for St. Louis, and he goes, I don't know if I want to fight that big anymore. And that was Tony Twist. He was the heavyweight champion of the NHL at the time. So you bring up a valid point. I'm not sure if you ever lost. That's a great point. I don't know if you ever lost one. Like,
at worst, there's many draw. And you know my humility. If I did think that I did, I would, over 150 fights, I would admit it and I would say so. But to be honest with you, of all the fights that I had, I have pretty good memory of all of them. I could pretty much argue with anyone that at worst, if you think that, because people were so used to seeing me beating guys, that if it was a draw, they're like, oh my God, what happened? So
yeah.
You're right. For a lot of guys, it was a moral victory to have a draw, right? Which happens sometimes.
Like Darren Langdon was a smart little fighter. And
it was a draw. In New York, you know what? Darren Langdon was one of the toughest fights I had in the NHL. One of the toughest ones. He's small. He was only 200 pounds. But that guy, he went for so long. I was dead. I was banned for the game. After I fight with him, I couldn't. It took me the whole game to just recuperate from it because the referee kind of knew that when you fought this guy, the referee had to wait like 4 minutes before you break it in automatically when you see Langdon in the fight, you know?
Yeah. Sean Thornton, when you were with Montreal, Sean Thornton, that was a draw. I would say. I'm trying to...
But just so you know, when I fought Sean Thornton, if you look at the video the right way, when I fall down, I stepped on my glove, and slipped, and then I got back up. So he's very lucky that I slipped on my gloves and stuff, because usually I've never had a problem with him.
Yeah, you beat him a couple times, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. And he even knows that I slipped on a glove, and you could see it on the video. Look properly, when we threw the glove, I didn't throw it in far enough, and I slipped on it. So for people that didn't see that, they could be like, oh, was that because of a punch? No, not at all. So,
Do you know, one I remember is you guys went down to Carolina and Sandy McCarthy had just been traded to Carolina or signed. He just ended up in Carolina. And you got the left hand going and you just speed bagged him. Like, I don't think he landed a punch. And you got about, and it was like his first game. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, I do. I do remember that one like it was yesterday. It was like, even me, I was surprised. I was like, when it was over, I was like, man, I was expecting to get at least one. I guess, you know, after a while, when you're in your prime, you know, you don't really realize things, right? But because you look up to those guys when they come into the league, you're like, oh, my God. Like, how am I going to face those guys? But you have to realize that after a point, when you become in your prime, those guys are not anymore. And they're worrying more than you actually are. And that's why when I did that one, that's when I realized that, okay.
Sorry, George. George LaRocque joining us. George, wasn't there a tall, was it Mitch Fritz or somebody from Tampa Bay? You had a fight with him and he had the reach on you, but he didn't want to trade inside. Like, he didn't want to.
Okay. So you're right. The one that had the hardest time, I was in Montreal. He was with the Islanders. It was Mitch Fritz. He was like, yeah, you're talking about Carl Frederick and which was, he was in Tampa Bay. You see, I remember all my fights there, Bob. He was in Tampa Bay, Carl Frederick. And it was like, on the side of the bench of Tampa, it was more of a wrestling match. But that guy was one of the strongest guys physically that I've ever fought.
Yeah.
But Mitch Fritz, with his reach, I couldn't get inside of him. He was playing with Long Island, and it was insane. I couldn't get inside of him, and he kept swinging, and with the reach, I was kind of out of his reach and stuff. I caught him just once, but the one punch that I got him, he had to go for x-rays after. He had a big bulk on the side of his head. But if you look at that fight, it's one of the fights that didn't have much control in it, but he never landed anything.
Yeah.
But it was a fight that it was really hard. I remember that one, too, and stuff. It was like, people were like, man, that guy, his reach is insane. But, yeah, it was quite something. Man, sometimes when people tell me about that stuff and now we're talking about it, I can't believe that I did that for a living. I can't believe. You know me as a person. It's so not my character. It's like, are you kidding me? Like, I was fighting guys. I was doing that for a living. Like, nining not out. And I was just like, my mentality of it, I was like, you know what? If I'm the best at it, then that way I don't have to do it as much because people they'll be more quiet about my team. And I'll give you something that is pretty funny. In a warm-up, often the guys will come up to me and they're like, George, come on, please don't run around tonight. I don't want to fight you. And they say stuff like this. Or they will come in a face-off and they ask me, they'd be like, hey, George, do you have, like, triplets or whatever? And I'd say no. And then they go back to the bench, saying, I asked him to fight, and he said no. You know, they'd ask me questions like that, and then just when I shake my head, then they did their job. They asked me. There's so many things like this that happened before that I would never go to their team and tell them that something like that happened before. But when a tough guy goes to you and doesn't want to fight, and he says something like this, you know that nothing's going to happen, and then the game's going to be pretty quiet after that.
George LaRocque joins us right now. Bob Stauffer with you on Oilers Now. It's Truculent Thursday. George, was there a guy that made you laugh, like a guy that was a light heavyweight or a heavyweight that would kind of chirp, and he just, he'd go up to you and go, all right, George, let's have a fight here so I can get killed or something like
that? Oh, my God. Brad May all the time. Brad May.
Yeah?
Like, Brad May, every time we fought him, he's like, George, I know you're going to kill me, but I have no choice, so we have to go. And then he'd say, don't kill me too much. Downey would say that, too. Who else?
Aaron Downey?
Yeah, Aaron Downey would say that, too. He'd say, please don't kill me too much. There's many guys that actually would say that before the fight. And when they said that, I actually had pity for them. And I was like, I hope it's not going to be too bad for them, you know, because you didn't, you know, I never wanted to hurt anyone. But it was actually pretty funny because I would laugh. You know, I would laugh because, you know, the goal is you want to win, but you don't want to hurt anyone. But when they say that, you know they already lost before the fight even begins, right?
So that's hey, George, I don't know if you know this. I don't think I've ever told you this, but my youngest sister is married to Aaron Downey's youngest brother. So we had a couple pops together in Nelson, B.C. back in 2015, and he's not much bigger than me. Like, he's probably 6'5", maybe 6'1", and he was about 205. And I remember when he knocked Jesse Bullery's out cold. Like, he knocked him out cold with a punch. And I was talking to him about it, and he said, Bob, Jesse Bolarice knocked me on my ass the year before in the minors, or 2 years before. He goes, that's how it is sometimes for most guys. Obviously not for George Laroque, because not too many guys ever got. But how small of a world is that? Eh? You mentioned Aaron Downey, yeah. And his brother Kyle is married to my little sister, yeah. Shauna.
And,
so.
And you know, when you talk about small guy, Raleigh Cote, too, was quite the gamer. He was small, and he would go toe-to-toe with anyone. So was TJ Stock. A small guy that would go toe-to-toe also and not afraid to trade bombs against big guys. Those guys were nuts because they'd fight anyone. And another guy also in St. Louis. Who's that guy in St. Louis?
Cam Jansen?
Yeah, him too. Like, small guy, and he would go toe-to-toe with big guys. Those guys were insane. Like, there was like, they have to be so brave because they give up at least 40 pounds to the opponent and 1 foot, and they go trade on there and stuff. They loved it. It is insane. When I look at some of those guys that did that, if I had anxiety by the job that what I was doing, you could just imagine those smaller guys, Bob, that was smaller, and they would go toe-to-toe with guys like me. Mad respect to them because, you know, it's not an easy job to do.
Well, you mentioned PJ Stock, and Brent Sutter and Cam Moon are down in Red Deer, and they had Steve and Pete there. And Steve and Pete, when he was with Washington, and PJ Stock with Boston, those guys had two of the best fights ever. It was rock 'em, sock 'em, robots. You know, it was like watching Gotti versus Ward, right? The first time they just traded them and know it. It was awesome stuff. So about your teeth. So we've talked. I asked about this question about Brian Burke. I asked Louis DeBrusse this. You probably wouldn't be surprised. When I've had teeth broken off, it's usually from eating blue whales or Swedish berry candies, or maybe going to Dairy Queen, getting a score blizzard from Dairy Queen. But have you? Did you ever get a puck that got your mouth, or a stick that clipped you, or anything like that in the teeth?
You know, I'm so lucky because of all my fights, I never got a teeth knocked off. Nothing. Never got a puck in the face, nothing either. And the only thing once, I got a Steve Bégin stick that hit me in the teeth and chipped like the front teeth like a bit of a chip, and then the dentist fixed it. But other than that, nothing. My teeth are perfect, Bob. I never got any damage. I never got stitches from a fight also. Never got knocked out, a concussion from a fight, nothing. I feel so fortunate when you think of it, because you would think that, you know, when people look at my teeth, they're like, have you lost any during your career? I'm like, no, 13 years, nothing. So that's why I feel so fortunate, because I know most of my friends, most of my brother, that people that did this job, like the nose, the teeth, everything is screwed up, and they need to do facial surgery after they're done their career. Like, look at Jeff Hodges, looks like the Elephant Man now. But other than that, you know, I feel fortunate that, no, my teeth are fine, and I still have my smile.
You know, I have a theory on why you never got high-sticked in the face, George, because nobody dared to do that to you, because they didn't want to get you too mad, because I know you didn't get, I know you didn't fight mad often. I think once with Rob Ray, you were pretty upset, and you had to tune in him, and
Actually, with Rob Ray, I was not mad. I was scared. I was
really
scared for my life. Yes, because, you remember, I called him out, and I was a rookie, and I didn't know that when you call the veteran out, the media brings it back. They do a countdown, Laroque versus Ray. I didn't know that. If you say something, they bring him back months later to haunt me. So I was like, Rob Ray's a veteran. He's going to want to kill me. And he mocked me. He's like, he was telling the media, what is he going to do, beat me up? He was laughing at me. And my cousin, Charlie Grandpierre, which was playing in Buffalo, was like, George, what are you doing? Rob Ray's going to kill you. And I was like, tell him that I'm sorry. That's what I was saying to my cousin before I played him. So I was scared, Bob. I didn't know the result was going to be like this, right? The only time in my career that I was mad in a fight, and we talked about this before, is when I fought at Brent Myers.
Yeah.
But other than that, that's the only time. I've never fought mad, and thankfully, I never fought mad, because if I did fought mad, I would have killed somebody in my career for sure. Because, you know, I always stopped when the guy was down. He was in a bad position, vulnerable
right.
position. Guys knew
right.
that. The referee knew that. But if you fight mad, you don't stop. You want to bring him to the ground. You want to put him on the ground, right? But I never had that mentality, which is good. Because, you know, sometimes I got criticized in Edmonton because by the media that was saying that I wasn't mean enough.
I think I was one of those guys, George.
Yeah,
I think I
you
used
were.
To... Yeah, yeah.
And they were like, you should be more mean. More. And I was like, in my mind, it didn't make sense because, like, I'm fighting for a living. Like, I'm beating guys for a living. Like, are you kidding me? Telling me about being more mean? Like, I was never about to be a bully. Like, Brescia was like that. Brescia was a bully. He was one of the toughest guys in the league, but he was a bully, too. But his peers didn't respect him, too. You know what I mean?
You know my feelings on Brashear. I mean, even with you, when you were in Pittsburgh, you were working him right over, and the linesman got in between, and you had him down, and you didn't hit him when he was down.
Three times I got him down, and I stopped. Yeah. Three times.
And he came up the one time, remember, and he popped you. And you were shaking your head. That was very...
Because I thought it was over. Three times he's down, and then it's like, when he gets up, I think it's over, and then he gives me one, and then I don't expect it, right? So, which is fine. But I'm saying that I wasn't like that. Me, it was too important to respect whoever...
George, you know who was mean? Dave Brown was a little mean.
Oh, really?
Well, he had a killer instinct. Like, he would hurt you. Well, you told us the story about, and well, Rob, we got to get going here, but I remember you telling me the story when you lined up against Dave Brown in preseason.
Yeah, but that's because, in my mind, I was like, he broke Stu Grayson's face. I'm coming out a junior, and I'm like, I wish I had my visor when I was facing him, and I didn't.
Right.
I was like, oh, my God, my face was cleared up. He's in front of me, and I'm like, oh, my God, Dave Brown is right there. This is the guy that has to fight to be the NHL. Forget it. I'm going back to junior to win the Memorial Cup. I don't want to be here. Are you kidding me? I fought Frederick Oduya that game because I didn't want to fight Dave Brown. And when Dave Brown actually scored, it was an exhibition game. I wanted to congratulate him, you know, when he scored, just so he doesn't get mad at me to ask you to fight, you know. Louis was playing on my line, actually, that game, and even Louis was afraid of him. I was like, man, if Louis is afraid of Dave Brown and I'm the rookie on the lineup, how do you think I'm feeling? Because, you know, I would think that maybe Louis said, George, let's change spot. You know, I'm going to go on your side maybe to look after the rookie. No, he stayed on the left side. I was down in front of a monster that broke two games in faith. I'm like, my poor little junior face. Can I take another year of junior, please, before I go back home? So I tell everybody, I played a couple exhibition games and said, it was awesome. And not calling people from the hospital, yeah, sorry, Mom, my orbital bone is broken, just like these two Grimson. I'm going to come back as Robocop with a couple plates on my face because I was stupid enough to fight Dave Brown. And that year, when he retired, I wanted to do a party, junior. I was like, yes, he's not going to be there next year. No Dave Brown to deal with. I was the happiest guy when he retired, man. I was afraid of that guy.
Oh, we're going to replay that segment. That is awesome, George. Hey, great stuff.
It's the truth.
That was highly engaging. Thank you for your time. We'll talk next week, all right?
Anytime, brother.
All right. That is George LaRocque. Wow.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the 7-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Well, he obviously had a healthy amount of respect for Dave Brown. 150 in Edmonton. We'll take a timeout. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Subscribe to the Oilers Now podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or wherever you find your podcasts. Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on 630 CHED.
153 in Edmonton. Royal Pizza, Pizza Pass, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years. Royal Pizza is offering curbside pickup and takeout options for a menu and a list of their 13 Edmonton and area locations. They have 8 dine-in locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. To this day in Oilers history, Mr. Escott, back at the 630 CHED Studios. What do you got?
Back in 2010, the Oilers signed 28-year-old Sherwood Park product Ben Andres to a one-year deal. He was the captain of the Toronto Marlies, never actually cracked the Oilers roster. Instead, he had 22 points in 80 games for Oklahoma City and then left for the Dell.
Yeah, Ben ended up punching above his weight class a couple times, as I recall, with the Maple Leafs back in the day. Good guy. Mitch has texted us on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Mitch was in Lethbridge yesterday, Atchison today, and he says, for my money, Dave Brown is the toughest I've seen, and no one is close as an Oiler. Well, you heard George say it. He never lost one. Jared says, Bob, George is the best radio. Darcy says, that was great fun. Sparky Kev says, wow, what a gem LaRocque is. People probably think I'm a crazy person laughing to myself at work listening to his stories. Jensen says, Bob, next time mute your mic so we can hear George tell the whole story without you laughing, ruining our chance to hear it clearly. Okay, we'll work on that. You can text us at 780-496-0063. Yeah, George had it going on. I mean, that's... I was just so glad he retired so I could leave Junior. I have a feeling Dave Brown probably, given the fact that he was a lefty and George was a lefty, I've talked to Dave Brown about George before. Healthy amount of respect for George's abilities. And again, you heard George say it. He doesn't think he ever lost one. So, and that's, you know what? Who's to argue with him? Again, you can text us at any time on our Ashley Fine Floors text line. Tomorrow, we will have Elliot Friedman will join us for the River Creek Resort Casino. He's back from his little trip away got a couple days off, and tomorrow could be a big day from the National Hockey League, from the NHLPA, and the NHL Board of Governors. We'll also have Kevin Weeks on from the NHL Network and my play-by-play partner, Jack Michaels. What's shaking tonight on Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins?
You're going to hear from Morley Scott to do with, of course, the Eskimos, and Hal Gill out of Nashville. He's their color analyst. Mark Kennedy from Curling Circuit around here in Alberta as well.
All right. Up next, we've got ourselves a global news, weather, and traffic update with Eileen Bell. We'll have the simulcast of the Rob Breckenridge Show out of CHQR 770 Radio in Calgary. Have a terrific Thursday on a truculent one. So long, everybody, from Oilers Now.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer, weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.